Welcome to the spirit world, answering your questions on angels, demons, and how the spiritual and physical worlds interact. And now your hosts, Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly.
Well, hello there, and welcome to the spirit world. I am Debbie Giorgiani with religious demonologist and co-host Adam Bly, and we hope you had a wonderful St. Valentine's Day yesterday. Well, we're going to continue the discussion talking about the many facets of love. We are opening the phone lines, and we want to hear from you. But Adam, we're going to jump right into this wonderful hour together that we spend with the spirit world listeners. So we always begin, Adam, with the St. Michael prayer.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Saint Michael the Archangel, defend us in battle. Be our protection against the wickedness and snares of the devil. May God rebuke him, we humbly pray. And do thou, O Prince of the heavenly host, by the power of God, cast into hell Satan and all the evil spirits who prowl about the world, seeking the ruin of souls. Amen. And also, please, everybody pray for the Holy Father, Pope Francis, who is in the hospital with bronchitis. We ask St. Joseph, please pray for him. Mary, please pray for him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen. Okay, so today on the Spirit World, we are live. We are taking your calls. We're talking about the many facets of love, and we're going to dive into Scripture and the Catechism, and hopefully it'll give you just a wider experience of the expressions of love. But we do want to hear from you. So here's what we're going to do. We're going to open up the phone lines right now. We're going to ask you, how do you express love? How do you receive love? How do you understand love? Do you think the word love is used to you loosely? Your idea of this concept of love. So if you have something to say about it, now is the time to call in, because I think this is the quickest hour in Catholic radio. The number to dial is 877-757-9424. Again, that's 877-757-9424. And we are heard all over the EWTN Global Catholic Radio Network. So we welcome our international listeners to call in as well. So please start filling up the phones. We have Carol and Lori on the phones, just ready to answer your call about how do you express love? Do you understand love? What is your concept of love? We're going to cover all angles of this. That's why we called it the many facets of love. So please make sure that you call in early. We don't like to leave you on the line when the show time runs out. So we also want to welcome our social media visitors on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, X, Rumble, and TikTok. Way to go, you guys. Get your comments going, and our senior producer, Tim Mott, will happily retrieve those and put those on the show documents. But Adam, if you are ready, I am more than ready, and we're going to dive right into Scripture, one of my favorite areas of the Bible. Go ahead, Adam.
So, Deb, in thinking about love, it is such a broad word, and I think it's really helpful when God gives us some ways of thinking about how love is actualized. Like, what does love look like? And so many times, you know, when I'm in church at Mass or at other times, and there's usually a large crucifix there, it is challenging but also edifying to think about the cross, because of course this is a representation of Christ's love for us, that he died for, literally for us, and gave up his life in a very painful way for us. So I think it can be good. We're going to look at three scriptures that'll give us a sense of how the living Word of God conveys and talks about love and what does love look like. So let's start with John 15, 9 to 13. And excuse me, I'm a little under the weather, but we're doing fine. As the Father loves me, so I also love you. Remain in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will remain in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and remain in his love. I have told you this so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, love one another as I love you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. This is interesting because he is saying to remain in his love is, the requirement is to keep the Father's commandments, the Ten Commandments. So that's interesting. Of course, it points back to the idea of remaining in a state of grace, right? And when we violate one of the Ten Commandments knowingly and willfully, we break that and we enter a state of spiritual death, which is why it's called a mortal sin. Mm-hmm. And so here, love between the human and God is defined or actualized by keeping the commandments. But he builds on that, as Jesus does so many times when he refers to the law. He says, his commandment is love one another as I love you. Well, that's really deep, because to love the way Jesus loved, of course, that's almost impossible for us to grasp it fully. But he defines that also, no greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. Mm-hmm. So it comes back to the cross. It's the commandments and the self-sacrifice, right. So far.
I just love the way Jesus does that. He never leaves us at the place we are at. He meets us at the place we are at, and he is constantly challenging and elevating us and encouraging us to go deeper and to become more mature and wiser. And it's amazing. I love the way he does that. May I just comment real quickly on are highlighting the verses 9 through 13, but I just want to go back to John 15, the parable of the vine and the branches. You know, in that parable, remain in me or abide in me is Jesus spoke about it multiple times. And I've said this many times before. It's not that Jesus had an issue or a brain hiccup in some way that he repeated himself. He did that on purpose to emphasize how important it is to stay connected to the vine, to absolutely keep that connection. And, you know, one of the patron saints of this show, Blessed Carlo Acutis, who's soon going to be Saint Carlo Acutis, that's exactly how he conducted his whole 15 years of life. As a matter of fact, Adam, I'll remind our listeners again, at his beatification in 2020, guess what passage they read? John 15, because that's how he really and truly lived his entire life, is getting in a state of grace, staying in a state of grace, and staying connected to the vine. It is very important for the clarity that it brings. And when we interact with each other, Adam, and this love expression is being pronounced, it is important to have that clarity, because when we are confused we don't understand it well, or we don't grasp it, the concept of it well, we can have a false sense of compassion, all sorts of things that manifests. And that is not an expression of love. That's not going to get somebody into heaven. That's actually going to get someone off the path. So that's why we're trying to be very clear on what love means, right?
Mm-hmm. Now, if we want to amplify or expand on that commandment to love one another, we can get some amplification of that or expansion of that. If we go to 1 John 4:7-11, this is where we're encouraged to love one another. Here we read, "Beloved, let us love one another, because love is of God. Everyone who loves is begotten by God and knows God. Whoever is without love does not know God, for God is love. In this way, the love of God was revealed to us. God sent his only Son into the world so that we might have life through him. In this is love, not that we have loved God, but that he loved us and sent us his Son as expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also must love one another." Okay. So, to know God, we need to live the faith out. And we're going to quickly move on to 1 Corinthians now. So what we've seen so far is keeping the commandments, self-sacrifice, loving one another, which leads to knowing God. Okay, great. And then we get an interesting third passage here, 1 Corinthians 13:1-3. this is very, well, you'll see. I think it's interesting. If I speak in human and angelic tongues, but do not have love, I am a resounding gong or a clashing cymbal. And if I have the gift of prophecy and comprehend all mysteries and all knowledge, if I have all faith so as to move mountains, but I do not have love, I am nothing. If I give away everything I own, and if I hand my body over so that I may boast, but do not have love, I gain nothing. So we see God encouraging us to love each other because that leads to relationship with Christ, it leads to knowing God. And we're warned that a spiritual life, a religious life, that may look good on the outside, and there may even be spiritual gifts that are visible, like speaking in tongues and faith moving mountains. But if we're not living it out and actualizing it with other people, we basically have nothing. It's hollow. What do you think, Deb?
Mm-hmm. Well, again, I'm relating it to this idea of a false sense of how we show up with love for one another. Mm. I mean, and really it's termed, not really, false compassion is probably not the right word. It's misguided compassion, right? It's this strange kind of compromise that we express. You know, we think we understand love because it's what we have received when we were little or how it makes us feel, right? But this misguided compassion that we extend to others when we have this expectation on ourselves that we're supposed to be a certain way in the world, a Christ-like way in the world. Well, guess what? You know, a lot of people are interpreting that in many different ways. So they'll say things like, well, this is what Jesus would do. This is how Jesus would love. And really, it is that misguided compassion that ends up leaving people with a false sense of true godly love. And then ultimately, Adam, that person is not receiving anything. They're actually receiving a message to keep doing what they're doing, living in sin, staying in that place. And it's walking them away from God. And see, and I go back to this, and this is what really hits me hard. What is our responsibility and how much are we going to be accountable for that? You know, we constantly talk about at the end of our life, we're going to be in front of Jesus and it's going to be like a life review and we're going to have to, you know, take an account and be responsible for all the things we did and didn't do. Are we going to be responsible for that? You know, sometimes people will say, well, I just loved them, you know, where they're at. And I, you know, I did my best just to keep, you know, keep them happy. Is that really what we're supposed to do as Christians? So let's hold it there. I know we're going to hit the pause button and there you go. Right on cue. There's the music. So, let's think about that. And if you have something to say about this, you know, this real true scriptural concept of loving one another. Okay, let's talk about that. Let's talk about misguided compassion, all these angles. We're talking about the many facets of love today on the Spirit World. This is an exciting discussion, one that we need to have on a regular basis. If you agree with us, please call in and share your thoughts on this. 877-757-9424. And don't forget to like us on Facebook. We'll be posting some articles all about this topic at the Spirit World Podcast. We'll be right back.
This program is sponsored in part by Saint Candles. Founded by a music executive to comfort a friend diagnosed with a life-threatening illness, the Saint Candle Collection has grown to more than 25 candles. Each modern candle is handmade with a prayer coin inside and dedicated to a patron saint. Saint Raphael for healing, Saint Philomena for children, Saint Anthony of Padua for finding love, and many more as well. To see which Saint Candles are available, visit saintcandles.com.
This is Mike and Alicia Hernan with a Messy Family Minute. My mother raised 10 children, and now she has over 45 grandchildren all over the country. That's a lot of marriages, children, and relationships to be worried about, but she's adopted a wise saying that we will give to you. Worrying is against my religion.
Kids are absolutely unpredictable, and the media tends to fill our minds with the latest crisis. Concerns for our kids is good because we want to protect them. But we have to recognize that there are things we cannot control. Those things belong to God. When we take responsibility from God for things that we can't control, that causes worry.
In Matthew 6, our Lord says to us very clearly that He knows all of our needs, and He does not want us to worry about tomorrow. He doesn't promise us an easy life of rainbows and sunshine, but He does say He will always be with us, no matter what difficulties we may encounter. For more encouragement and insight, visit us at messyfamilyminute.org.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
What is your definition of love? We'd really like to know. So if you are a Spirit World listener and follower, please call in. And if you feel prompted by the Spirit, I say this all the time, say yes, because you can help other souls today. Remember, this is a worldwide platform. We are live today, the day after St. Valentine's Day. And so we're continuing the theme of love and the many facets of love. But Adam, you know, I want to get into this because you really got me going on as you were reading from John, and you referenced Corinthians. Let me ask you this, Adam. You know, we are told in Scripture how to love. We are told how much God has loved us, so much so that He died for us, right? How does that love, what does that love look like when we are interacting with others? And let me give a very concrete example. You have a relative that is clearly living in a, clearly, and it's not a judgment, not trying to make any assessment on their eternal, you know, rewards or anything like that, or consequences. Okay. They're clearly living a sinful life on a daily basis. Is it my job as a relative of that person to just love them where they're at and pray for them and just, you know, Jesus would love them and Jesus dined with sinners and Jesus, you know, we hear this all the time. Or should I challenge them to move past that, to master that, to think higher, to strive for a life of holiness? Is that, does that make me, you know, what you referenced in Scripture, like maybe I'm being spiritual, but I'm not walking the walk, talking the talk, or maybe I'm being too judgmental. This word of judging others is, and that this concept is totally misunderstood. It has nothing to do with that. So tell me what would be my role, my responsibility as a relative of this person. And by the way, I don't have a person like this in my immediate family, but I'm just using this as an example.
Yeah. Well, I think the answer is both, right? So we love people that we know and we pray for them, but you have a responsibility to inform their conscience, and we're going to be held accountable for the times that we knew somebody was missing the truth or going down a bad road spiritually, in their life, socially, all of it. We're held accountable if we don't inform their conscience. Now, they still ultimately have to make the choice. We don't, you know, force them to do or not do anything. But that is part of love, which is to inform somebody and let them know things are dangerous. I mean, when, you know, like when people's teenagers maybe experiment with drugs, they're going to inform them and say, you know, you may not realize this yet, but, you know, that's no good. It doesn't lead to a good place. But that doesn't mean you stop loving them and you're going to be praying for your kids. But I think it's easier to think of when it's something really dangerous, like drugs, like, oh, of course I would tell them and try to explain, like, you know, everybody's, you know, been down this road in some way in life, turning to substances to deal with life and blah, blah, blah. We have that responsibility. And when it comes to spiritual matters, even more so. I mean, if a person ends, now, we're not the only one in their life. God's going to use other people too. But we don't want to be partly responsible for a person ending up in a bad place after they die.
So that is the expression of real, true, genuine love that God is telling us right here in the Word of God, how to live it out. Correct?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Well, I just want to be clear because we get a lot of responses from our Spirit World listeners. And as you know, Adam, I get just a ton of responses from the Take Two family. And I will tell you that people are in a difficult position with their family members, their adult children, their grandchildren, their neighbors, their friends. And, you know, I think that a lot of people have resorted to just saying, well, I'll pray for them because I don't want to appear to be judgmental. Jesus wouldn't have done that. Jesus would have just dined with them and you know, maybe said a few words and moved on. But see, I don't think people really understand what's in these scripture stories because that's not what Jesus did. Okay, Jesus did put himself in different environments and different encounters for the purpose of educating and to elevate people, not to leave people where they're at.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And he challenged people to stop sinning. He would do miracles for people and then in many cases challenge them, go and sin no more.
That's right.
So, yeah, I mean, God is love, but he's also, you know, justice. There's mercy and justice. Love does have to have a justice component. You know, to leave somebody without any feedback on things that they're doing that are going to hurt themselves and other people, that's not actually love. You know, because love is wishing the good for the other and self-sacrifice of yourself to that end.
Yeah.
And so, yeah.
Yeah, we should want everyone to get to heaven. And, you know, we work on ourselves, right? We should be all working on ourselves to get to heaven, but we should want, that's the love for other, you know, the other person. And so I think this is a very powerful explanation you're giving using scripture. Now, real quickly, before we go to the phones, I know you want to go into the catechism and so do I, but let me give the number again. If you have something to say about this, okay? You know, Adam reading from the Bible really got me going on this because I was starting to bring it into what I hear on a regular basis, especially we do a lot of life coaching. And so a lot of families are dealing with this. If you are dealing with this what I called misguided compassion or a strange sense of a definition of love, or love doesn't feel right. We hear that love is a choice. I mean, there's all sorts of ways to describe love. It's amazing. You could do many shows on this topic, but we're going to try to cover it in this one quick hour, but we need your help. So if you have something to say about this, please step up and make that phone call. 877-757-9424. Call right now because we're going to go to the phones in just a couple minutes. 877-757-9424. Okay, Adam, I know we're going to go into the catechism.
Yeah, so I just wanted to do two paragraphs here because we're building towards hopefully an overall understanding of love and how we should seek to love in our lives. It's the very first paragraph of the catechism. This is paragraph number one. And so that should tell you something, right? It's a core central idea. So here we read, God, infinitely perfect and blessed in himself, in a plan of sheer goodness, freely created man to make him share in his own blessed life. For this reason, at every time and in every place, God draws close to man. He calls to man to seek him, to know him, to love him with all his strength. He calls together all men, scattered and divided by sin, into the unity of his family, the church. To accomplish this, when the fullness of time had come, God sent his Son as Redeemer and Savior. In his Son and through him, he invites men to become, in the Holy Spirit, his adopted children and thus heirs of his blessed life. So paragraph number one is kind of summing up, in a sense, all of Christianity. This is talking about the motivation, the reason for the salvation story. God created man with the intended goal is to share in God's life in the beatific vision. that love he expresses and calls people out of the scattered and divided situation that we're in because of sin. And so this is kind of pulling back and seeing the love of God, of course expressed by sending his son to die for us, but in general, to give us that chance to enter that divine love with him. God wants us to be fully fulfilled with him in his divine life, in the beatific vision in heaven. And so ultimately, this is the greatest love we can imagine, because it is that is a fulfillment of every possible need, every possible want that we could have. In fact, more than what we can imagine.
Wow, that was powerful. Well said, Adam Bly, that I love going into the catechism, and we will weave in some more snippets from the catechism in a moment. And also this idea of the definition of love and different types of love and the many facets of love, the details of love, the varieties of love, however you want to say it. We're going into all angles of love today, the day after St. Valentine's Day. You hear the music. When we come back, a few more comments, and then we'll go right to the phones. We'd love for you to join us at 877-757-9424. If you have something to say about love, or maybe an experience of love, and you'd like to share with the world, we need to help one another. This is the day, this is the episode to do it. 877-757-9424. We'll be right back.
There was no single event, it was more gradual.
My husband was not Catholic, and at the time, I didn't really think that it really mattered which church we went to, because we all loved God and we all loved Jesus, and that was the start of my journey out of the Catholic Church, where I remained out of the Catholic Church for over 30 years.
When I was outside of the church, there was always an unsettled feeling. There was always a feeling of something missing and something not complete.
When I started to read the Bible, I could see that our Catholic faith is steeped in Scripture. I could see some of the sacraments in Scripture. I could see some of the liturgy in Scripture.
I wouldn't be the spouse, I wouldn't be the father, wouldn't be the person that I am without the Church and without the sacraments, particularly the Eucharist. I can't live without it.
If you've been away from the Catholic Church for whatever reason, we invite you to take another look. Visit CatholicsComeHome.org today.
Hi folks, Sean here from Guadalupe Radio. Don't miss your chance to win a brand new Mercedes-Benz GLB 250. Ticket sales end Monday, February 17th. Tickets are only $25 each, or 5 tickets for $100. You can also pay it forward. Buy a ticket for someone you know, maybe a priest, teacher, or family member. Go to grnonline.com/raffle. The winner will be announced on Friday, February 21st. It could be you.
The Spirit World continues with Debbie Giorgiani and Adam Bly. If you have a question for the show, call 877-757-9424 or email tsw@grnonline.com.
Okay, if you'd like to join us in this conversation about love, please dial in now, 877-757-9424. We're not going to take any more breaks. We're just going to go to the calls. And Adam, I'd like to get to our first caller, unless you have any comments. And then after our first caller, Adam, I'd like you to talk about the different aspects of love based on the translations and mm-hmm. what they mean. Would you do that for us?
Sure.
Okay. So, Tim, our wonderful producer, our first caller, please.
Our first caller is going to be Roberta from North Fork, Nebraska, listening on EWTN via the Alexa app. Roberta, you are on the air with Debbie and Adam.
Hello, Roberta. Welcome to the show. Go right ahead. Okay. Roberta, are you with us? Okay. Yes. Okay, good. I didn't hear you at first. You're on the air. Go right ahead, please.
What is wrong with a man who has made the choice to not show love in any form or give emotional support towards his wife and his children.
Well, Roberta, I mean, without knowing that man in more detail, it's hard to say. I can tell you that, you know, in my work as a canon lawyer, I study failed marriages regularly, and I also, in the years that I worked in psychology, I did some work in the community. And so, you know, I've seen different reasons for this. Some of the common reasons are people basically recreate or live out their marriages the way they saw their parents live out their marriage. That's one possibility that would lead a person to do the same thing their father did, whether it's conscious or unconscious. A lot of people become their parents, whether they intend to or not. That's one possibility. Another could be if a person is older, there are changes in the brain as we age and we get into our elderly years sometimes, that you can see a real shift in the personality. That can happen. And then finally, a very rare case, but there are people that, you know, they kind of don't have empathy or feelings for other people, and they'll fake it earlier in life, mm-hmm. but then later drop that kind of pretense. I'm not saying that's what's going on in the case you're referencing, but those are three possibilities.
Right. And I have a question and a comment, Roberta. Is this man that you're talking about, this father and husband, is this an intact family? Is he still with the family, or did he abandon the family?
I abandoned him because of
the way you were treated?
A lot of abuse. Okay.
Well, okay, so a couple things on this, Roberta, without knowing the full details of this, but just in general. Adam and I do an outreach ministry called Stand Tall. You can find us at standtalltoday.com. We do a lot of this area of life coaching, and we see a lot of families and marriages, and Adam sees it with his work in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. But I will tell you, Roberta, that there are a lot of people that enter into marriage and they have these expectations and the idea of what marriage should look like and feel like, and they haven't matured into that area of responsibility and understanding what they have agreed to. It's a cop out. It's a character flaw. We can label it however you want to. But marriage is a serious thing. And Adam, I think you're going to attest to this given the work that you do in the tribunal. Marriage is a serious thing. The commitment is a covenant relationship. And it's something that people need to grow up and realize that marriage is not easy. It's a difficult thing, and people need to work on themselves. This idea of, well, you knew what I was like when you married me, that's a cop out. That's ridiculous. Okay, people need to grow and mature. That this is exactly what we're talking about, Roberta, what Jesus did with people. He dined with sinners. He met people at the well. He met people in various places. He recognized and told them and reminded them of their sins. And then he challenged them to grow up and be better. And we're in a world right now where everybody seems to think it's okay. Just love them where they're at. Oh, they have their troubles. They have their problems. You know, they'll be fine. People are not going to be fine. People need to really wake up and start to improve themselves so that they can live up to their commitments and their obligations, especially in marriage and family. So, Roberta, you got me going on this one because this was a bit of a trigger for me. But, Adam, quick comments before we let Roberta get going with her weekend.
Well, yeah, I guess just finally, Roberta, you mentioned that there was a lot of abuse going on. So that's another level to things. And of course, we shouldn't tolerate abuse. We should seek treatment, or if it's really bad, obviously call 911, bring the authorities into the situation, keep everybody safe, of course. But yeah, that when somebody's that abusive, there's almost always something in their background that taught them that is normal. And so they probably had a very troubled childhood. and in a very troubled upbringing. But yeah, we shouldn't tolerate that. Even within marriage, I you know, that's why the church has annulments, and we look at marriages that, you know, they're divorced, but now they want the marriage annulled if the church finds that it really never happened. And that's what Deb is referring to.
It's called the sacrament portion of that.
Yeah,
yes.
The sacrament portion. Mm-hmm. So the grave defect of discretion,
right,
is basically not understanding what marriage is and therefore not being able to commit to it on the day of your wedding. And that's, so the church takes these things into account and when we study them. So it's sad. I'm sorry that happened, Roberta. But unfortunately, it's very common.
And I would pray for everybody involved and pray for him. I mean, he's got some serious, you know, character defects. And, you know, like we said at the beginning of the show, we should want the good for the other person, and we should want them to be the best they can be and to get to heaven. So we pray. And prayers work. They absolutely work. Roberta, we're going to have to leave it there. Thank you so much for being our first caller today on the Spirit World. And with that, let's actually move to Adam. I think this is a perfect time for you to go over the different aspects of love.
Sure. Okay. So we talked about Catechism paragraph 1 and how central love is, and God's love for us is him wanting us to be with him in the beatific vision, to be in heaven. Just wanted to mention really briefly, paragraph 260 builds on this a little bit and basically tells us that if a man loves me, says the Lord, he will keep my word, and my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. So there's not only a promise that we will be with God in heaven after we die, but if we show love to Jesus through keeping his commandments, keeping his words, and loving him, the Father, the Holy Spirit, will come and make a home with us in this life. And so there's a bit of the encounter with the divine that we experience in this life. It won't be the same as and wonderful it is to be in the beatific vision. But we don't have to wait for the experience of God until we die. Mm-hmm. And we see the evidence of that in many ways, in the miracles, in the various blessings that we receive in life. Okay, mm-hmm. So let's quickly unpack love a little bit. So in the Greek, which is, you know, when we translate from the Greek into the English, these are all the different words that end up just being translated as the word love. Agape, which is a selfless, unconditional love. Philos, which is friendship, support, affection, basically friends. Storge, which is family love, kind of the love amongst siblings and, you know, parents to children. Eros, which is passionate romance. Ludus, which is playful love. Pragma, which is long-standing love. Philoutia, which is love of the self, whether that's healthy or unhealthy, right? Because mm-hmm. you need a certain amount of self-esteem, but it can be unhealthy.
Right.
And then mania, which is obsessive love. Mm-hmm. So we see in Greek there's many different words, and in English, of course, we make compound words like parental love when we try to convey some of these ideas. This all leads to something. I don't know if you want to do it now or later, Deb, but, you know, I was hoping to get to the three challenges Jesus makes to Peter when Jesus comes back. And, of course, Peter had basically denied Jesus three times,
right,
the night he was arrested. And when we understand the Greek words that are being used, and when we read that challenge as a challenge to ourselves in our encounter with Christ, I think it's an interesting place to go. But I don't know if you want to go there or you want to take another call.
Well, what I'd like to do is have Tim introduce our next caller. And then after Dennis, Lou, hang on. And if you'd like to join the conversation, guys, you can go quickly. We can squeeze in a couple more calls. 877-757-9424. And then I'd like you to replace those words and share those different translations of the words during this exchange between Jesus and Peter. So hold on with that, Adam. Let's have Tim introduce our next caller.
And we do have Dennis from Carmel, New York, listening on Sirius XM 130. Dennis, you are on the air.
Hello, Dennis. Go right ahead.
Thank you, Tim, and thank you, Debbie and Adam. I need prayers for my niece. We'll call her Jennifer. Mm-hmm. She has three kids with her boyfriend. They're in their teens now, but they never married. And he went off. He has a girlfriend who he just has a new baby with. The three kids that they have with my niece, unfortunately, they have emotional problems. And one of them has a dog. It's not an official emotional support dog, but the boyfriend had the dog and another pet, the three kids, and he had a fire last week where they were killed. The boy, he's a teenager. It's a small town. But anyhow, the firehouse was 5 minutes away. They didn't come for a half hour while the house was burning. They were trying to go in to save the pets. So the boy yelled at the fireman, "How come it took you so long to get here? Didn't he get arrested for disorderly conduct?" The girls are all upset about their dogs being destroyed. It's a mess. And if I could just ask all three, Timmy, you, Debbie, Adam, and all your listeners, say a prayer for Jen and her family.
Absolutely.
I don't know how I can help them. I'm trying to get them back all into church. It's a losing battle, and I'm just trying my best. I need prayers, and I know the spirit world listeners will give it to me.
Absolutely.
Thank you for all you do.
Dennis, real quickly, we'll definitely, we've got you covered in prayer. Pray for peace in this situation and the emotions calm down on this, and that the Lord shows himself in beautiful ways. I've seen miracles come out of tragic situations like this. So what do you say to that, Adam, real quickly?
Yeah, I'm sorry, Dennis, that that happened. And of course, we all love animals, and that's very sad. And if it was an emotional support for them, of course, that makes it even more of a wound. I would just encourage you to keep praying for them to come back to the church, and be patient, because sometimes, you know, it's a lifetime of prayer, and we do our part and pray for people, and God reaches out to them through other people, you know, through their life. But just do what you can, and you have to be patient. That's just the way it is.
And we put all the intentions in our prayer book, so just know that. Dennis, keep us posted, okay?
I will. Thank you. Thank you for all you do.
God bless you.
God bless you. Yes, thank you. You know what? We've had Lou wait too long. Why don't you properly welcome Lou? And then, Adam, why don't we finish with the exchange of, you know, Peter's denial with Jesus? Because it's the way you did this and explained this. You did this earlier this week on a morning show that we work on with Guadalupe Radio Network, Morning Joy. And it was so powerful. The listener feedback was, I mean, amazing. So I want you to do it again. But we'll close the show with that. But let's welcome our next caller.
Lou from Queens, New York, listening on Sirius XM 130. You are on with Debbie and Adam.
Hey, Lou. Welcome back.
Hi. Thank you for taking my call, Debbie and Adam, my two favorite folks on the radio. My prayers go out to you, Dennis. I'm sorry for the suffering that you're going through. Basically, in order to speak about love, you have to talk about suffering, and you have to talk about forgiveness also. Because love, we can all love our pets, we can love babies, we can, you know, we can fall in love, we can fall out of love. But when things get complicated, when we suffer and we ask, why are we suffering, or why is this person that we love suffering so much, or this person has hurt me, or I hurt that person, we're looking for forgiveness, or we're looking to forgive. And basically, I think in my own interpretation of what Jesus was trying to teach us is, let's keep it simple. If we could give a little love to everybody when they need it, when we observe somebody that needs some kind of love, and love could come in many forms, could be helping somebody across the street, could be saying, hey, I'm going to give you $500 to help you pay your rent, whatever, those kind of things. And that's just basically what I wanted to comment on.
Adam, would you like to respond first about suffering and forgiveness? I think Lou makes a really good point.
Yeah. Thank you for calling again, Lou. Of course, there. You know, in a marriage, in a long-term relationship, there's always going to be difficulties and things to overcome and to work through, and there's always going to be suffering. Like we see that also in the relationship with Jesus and his disciples. They were misunderstanding things. They weren't getting certain things, and it was sad for him, but he kept working on the relationship. He never abandoned anybody. And you know, the analogy of the church being the bride of Christ is kind of related to this too, where Jesus bears with the church, because what is a bride? A marriage is a permanent relationship. It's literally a permanent relationship.
It's a covenant relationship.
Right. Mm-hmm. And so for the church to be the bride of Christ, mm-hmm. it implies that there is an intimacy.
That's right.
There is a caring he has for the church, and that the relationship will never be broken.
Mm-hmm. There's a huge God component. Go ahead.
Right. Mm-hmm. And for us humans, any type of long-term love relationship is going to involve sacrifice, and real sacrifice involves a little bit of suffering, because you're giving things up. And there's also going to be difficulties, and you're going to have to work through them. There's going to be some tears, there's going to be some heartache to it. But that is part of real love, which is love that involves work. And we see this in the way Jesus worked with people and worked with the apostles. Mm-hmm. And that's where we're going to end the show, actually, Lou, is we're going to look at how Jesus worked with Peter to heal the relationship that Peter had ruptured by denying him. So, yeah, suffering and bearing up under suffering and forgiving is central to a long-term loving relationship.
Yeah. True love is something that takes a lot of time, effort, work. And that's why I struggle so much with the world using the term love so loosely. Lou, final comments.
Well, you hit the nail on the head, Adam. It's a very complex issue. Yes, absolutely. Jesus was trying to, you know, continue to work through the apostles to get his message of love across, and especially with Peter, since Peter is the rock of the church. Mm-hmm. And that's what we're supposed to be doing also with each other, you know, and it's a lifelong process. It requires emotional maturity, mm-hmm. and that only comes with wisdom. And when, according to the Hebrews, wisdom comes at the age of 50. So for the young listeners, hang in there. And for the ones who've passed that, work on it harder.
Right, you know? Right. Yeah. Well said, Lou. You are precious. Thank you so much for gracing this broadcast today, Lou. And we love to hear your voice. So God bless you. Have a beautiful weekend. Hopefully we'll get to John and the others, but let me give you ample time, Adam, to really share with us this exchange that Jesus had with Peter, because I think we're going to look at it in a whole different way after you really do walk us through this.
Okay, remember the two words that you need to remember their meanings. We talked about agape, which is Greek for selfless, unconditional love, which is kind of like a godly love, right? God has unconditional love for everyone, and he's selfless. Jesus was willing to die on the cross for us. He gave up his body for us, his life. Okay, so agape is that selfless, unconditional love. Philos is friendship. Okay, so unconditional and friendship. Give everything and we're just friends. So when we look at John 21:15-17, remember again, Peter had denied Christ three times the night that Jesus was arrested. And Jesus had told him he would do this, and of course he protested. You know, at the Last Supper, he said, "You're going to deny me three times." And he said, "Oh, I would never do that." And he did exactly that. So now Jesus has risen from the dead, and he appears to them, and they're basically having a conversation. I want to think about this as if you're Peter, because I think that's why this is being included. It's for us when we have ruptured our relationship with Christ in some way. I'm going to swap in the Greek for the word love. Normally, this is read as, do you love me, do you love me, do you love me, essentially. We're going to swap the Greek in, and it's going to make it make more sense. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, Do you agape me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I have friendship for you. He said to him, Feed my lambs. He then said to him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you agape me? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I have friendship for you. He said to him, Tend my sheep. He said to him a third time, Simon, son of John, do you have friendship for me? Peter was distressed, and he had said to him a third time, Do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know everything. You know that I have friendship for you. Jesus said to him, Feed my sheep. So there's a few levels that this is interesting. Of course, Jesus is asking Peter, Will you give everything for me? Do you love me unconditionally? And Peter can't. He can't get there. He says, Well, I like you like a friend. You know, I have some affection for you, but, you know, I'm not there, essentially. And he asks him a second time. And when Peter protests, I only have friendship for you, he then says, Do you have friendship for me? So Jesus, the interesting thing here is the relationship has been ruptured. And we do this with God all the time when we sin. And God wants us to have a selfless, unconditional, giving love for him, to pour ourselves out, to wring out every bit of our energy, of our heart for him in this life. But of course, we don't do that completely. So he meets us where we're at. Well, do you love me a little bit? Yes, I do. And he will then work with us from that point forward. It's an encouragement to us when we're a little bit conflicted about God, when we're maybe angry with God, or we're resentful of something and we're blaming God for it, or we've just drifted away. He doesn't abandon us. He'll meet us where we're at. Whatever level of relationship that we're at with him, he will meet us there and work with that. Because Jesus steps down to friendship with Peter, and he says, Okay, I will accept your friendship, feed my sheep. He reaffirms the role that he had given Peter, the ministry that he had given Peter, what he created him for. He reaffirms that Peter still has this role, even though Peter has, there's been a rift and he's not quite there with Christ where he was before. Jesus will work with you. You don't have to give up. He's never going to reject you. He's never going to give up on reaching for you. So don't feel like you have to have everything or it's not going to be acceptable to him. Give him whatever you can, and he's going to work with you to grow that over time.
Outstanding. This is why I asked Adam to share this again with our Spirit World listeners. He shared it earlier this week on our morning show, and the response was just amazing. An abundance of listeners said, wow, Adam needs to share this over and over again. So see, this is why scripture, when you look at it from a different angle, a different way, a deeper way, it reveals such an incredible spiritual truth that you can take in your life and begin to start living it and understanding it better today. Wow, Adam, I thought this was a great episode on the many facets of love. If you have some comments about this to the Spirit World listeners, please, you can always email us, tsw@grnonline.com. John in Virginia, I'm so sorry. I thought I was going to be able to squeeze you in. And so at this point, we'll ask Lori and Carol to pick up the phone and speak with John and get his question and comment. We'll put it into the next mailbag edition, or you can call back during our open forum. But next week, just looking ahead, next week on the Spirit World, we're going to be preparing for Lent together. Oh, wow. It's going to be a great one. What do you say, Adam?
It is. Okay. Lent is always, it's a challenge, but it's a time of growth. So absolutely. I'm looking forward to it.
Yep. I am as well. So this is the point where I want to thank everybody. So thank you to the show team, Carol and Lori. You did a great job. Tim, our producer. Thank you, Guadalupe Radio Network, producing the show. Thank you, EWTN and all the affiliates. For Adam Bly, I'm Debbie Giorgiani. Until next Saturday, have a beautiful and blessed week. We'll see you real soon.